Hi, and welcome to the Courageous Heart for Visionary Entrepreneur series. I am so excited to announce that today's my interview. So I'm really looking forward to being interviewed for my own series, and my guest interviewer will be Brooks Witter.
Hello.
Hi, Brooks. Thanks for being here today.
It's a pleasure.
So I'm thrilled to have Brooks here today because he is my husband, and he brings out the best in me, and I really wanted to offer the best of myself for this interview series. And I think he's pretty fun, so we're going to go ahead and do our interview.
Great. All right, Lisa. So you call yourself an intuitive business coach. What is that?
That's a great question. I get that actually a lot. What is an intuitive business coach? So I got my BA in marketing, and then I got an MA in psychotherapy, and really love both. And at some point, you know, kind of later on down the road, after I was doing web design, SEO, I figured I'd like to bring all of this together. And how in the world would that come together? And so I actually wrote, and I'm going to talk about this process later of how to kind of define your niche. But what I did basically is wrote down everything that I loved about what I, you know, kind of the skill sets that I had. And then I took some time, reflected on it, and realized it was really... and I'd also done 2 years of psychic intuitive training, and knew I loved bringing that in. So I thought, intuitive business coach. It's really a catch-all for everything. So I have a lot of fun with it.
Great. It sounds like quite a ground-up process and top-down as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, bringing all those things together, I mean, is there something particularly that kind of got you into this work, or how did you sort of get going as an intuitive business coach?
So I also think that's a great question, because a lot of people are in the same situation I was when I started this whole process. So what happened, I was graduated from Naropa University, where I got my MA in psychotherapy, and started working there as an event coordinator for visiting, visiting authors and experts in holistic healing from around the country. And I loved that job. But Naropa decided that that wasn't the thing that they were really good at. They were a school, and this was a bit of an offshoot. So they decided to cancel that department. So I was laid off. I was actually laid off in 2008, kind of back when everybody else in the country was getting laid off. And I really saw it as an opportunity. I got actually quite excited about it because, you know, oddly enough, there wasn't a lot of jobs to be had. And so I kind of knew that there wouldn't be another job for me right out. You know, I mean, nobody was hiring at that time. And so I took it as an opportunity to look at, well, what do I really want to do? And what's interesting to me? And at that point I had been a child and family therapist and was really into family services and wanting families just to be able to feel like they were able to be resourced and have the services that they wanted. And so I started a website called Apple Tree Directory, and it's for family services in the Boulder County area. And that's still going. So I had somebody else design it for me. I had the concept and created, you know, built all the content, put it all in there, and then realized I have a website. I have to learn how to update it, and, you know, I don't have a large budget. I'm unemployed. So I also need to find out how to get people to find this website, which is search engine optimization. That's how you get people to basically get highly ranked on Google so that when people searching for the thing that you are offering, they find it. So I started studying with a few experts in SEO, and because SEO is pretty specialized and really beneficial for websites, they're expensive. Expensive on a totally worth it, but, you know, for an unemployed stipend, I decided I need to learn SEO. So I started another website called airpurifiershumidifiers.com, and I started that one just to learn SEO. It was really about the keywords, optimizing the keywords, getting them in the right places, all the things to help Google just decide, okay, you know, I'm going to put your page above the other ones. And so, you know, getting backlinks, all the things for search engine optimization. So I learned that, and then just had, I love doing everything, you know, kind of, I'm such a DIYer, do it yourself. So then I learned how to do more website design and different platforms, because I wanted to keep building websites. I think I have, I don't know, 6 or 8 or something at this point. Because, you know, it's just fun. It's like, oh, I'm interested in that. I'm going to build a website on it. So I, yeah, that's how I got into that. And then I started offering this for clients, because obviously I knew a lot of small business owners and knew they needed SEO and felt like I could really offer something tailored exactly to them, because I'm targeting the small business owner rather than SEO often is for people that utilize it are mid-sized companies, so maybe 100, 500 employees. So they're really doing SEO that's quite expensive, and I wanted to offer it to the small business owner. And so I started, you know, kind of doing that. And then I realized what I loved doing was helping people organize their niche around, because you have to know what you're up to in order to optimize the site, you know, because I'm like, okay, I'm going to optimize, I'm going to help Google find you. You're a massage therapist. What do you do? And they're like, oh, I do a little of everything. Well, that's great, but, you know, Google's not going to rank you for massage therapist, you know, across the whole of the internet. So if you're able to put, you know, specializing in prenatal massage therapy in Boulder, Colorado, obviously that's way more specific than massage therapy across the globe. So I realized I really loved helping people out with finding their niche and what they cared about, what they're passionate about.
I'd imagine with your therapy skills and also your intuitive training that as people are sort of talking about what they're wanting from their site and their site to do for them, that you can probably bring a sort of quality of listening that might not be present in a lot of people who are more tech focused.
Oh yeah, that's good. Yeah, actually I would say that that's probably why I really enjoyed doing that, is because I was able to bring him, you know, I loved listening to people and being a therapist and using those skills. So it was really fun for me to listen to that. And yeah, website designers and search engine optimization specialists tend to be left brain techie people, very linear, right? So it is fun for me to bring in the non-linear. So that's how I got into the intuitive business coaching, is really through starting up a website and just sort of making the leap. So I guess my advice for anybody thinking, you know, they have a vision and they're not sure where it's going to go. I had no idea where this website was going to go or what I was going to do with it or how I was going to make money. But it was of interest to me, and so I made the leap. And it really brought to fruition everything that I'm doing now, because I made that leap into a new venture. So I really encourage people to make that leap.
Yeah, it's really cool how that first website, the Apple Tree Directory, was really sort of a heart project of offering a directory of holistic resources for parents. And that kind of got you into this whole world where you then kind of had to learn all the kind of techie science of SEO in order to take that heart project into a more full manifestation.
Right.
Really cool.
Well, that's a good, yeah, that's mm-hmm. true. I did... it was from my heart, and then I had to learn the headpiece, which I think a lot of small business owners do.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I'll give you some tips in a little bit about combining what you're passionate about and how to bring that in, you know, kind of the more linear way to make money.
Great. So as an intuitive business coach, you do something that I've heard you talk about, and you have a website on this as well, is one of your 6 or 8 or 9 websites on holistic business marketing. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you mean by holistic marketing?
Yeah, yeah, actually, it's if you Google holistic business marketing, you'll find, well, hopefully you'll find my site because I do SEO. But then also you'll find not many other people are talking about this, which I thought was just fascinating. That people aren't really speaking about holistic marketing as such. You know, there's all kinds of different marketing terms. And to me, holistic marketing and why I started that company was I wanted to offer people a way to market that also included the business owner. Because every marketing model that's out there just looks at the consumer. So they're looking at what do the consumer buy? What do they want? How do they, what are they thinking about? When do they buy? Who do they buy for? What times of year? You know, just it goes endless. You can, the psychology of the buyer, of the people who, you know, get the buyers to buy, whether it's the kids or the husband or whatnot. And it felt really important to me to include the business owner. And so that's why I felt like it was a really holistic process, because what's the business owner passionate about? I mean, especially small businesses this works for, which is my target. You know, as the business owner, what are you passionate about? What are your values? You know, you want to help the world. And is it through compassion? Is it through generosity? Is it through, you know, like, what do you want to offer? And so, I think that's just as important, you know, as what the consumer's up to. And so really it's about, you know, just bringing that all together. And so,
can you tell me about how that adds value to the actual marketing venture or to the company itself? If you're thinking about both the consumer, but also keeping in mind the owner or the operator's values, like, can you tell me a little bit more about how does that actually strengthen the business?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because, you know, if I were to, let's say, market a massage therapist, and I'm thinking, like, okay, well, I know that the hottest thing right now is, let's say, hot stone, you know, massage. Like I've heard that's all the rage.
Oh,
so
that's so good.
Yeah, it is nice. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, hot stone massage. Like that's what clients want. That's what we're going to, you know, have you do. And yet maybe the massage therapist, that's not what they love. They are, you know, a sports massage therapist. And it doesn't really work that way. So if I'm just focusing on the client and not the person who's doing it, you know, or even a bigger company, I'm really focusing on what the client wants and not as much about the values of the company. I mean, I think that's more and more what people are doing, but not so much that they've named it as such, holistic marketing. Mm-hmm. So really taking into account, and I think it really adds value, because then the energy of the owners comes through and the energy of the company comes through. And I think we all know this, the greatest successes, Zappos and Apple. I mean, Apple has such a brand loyalty, and I think it was very clear that Steve Jobs infused who he was into Apple. You know, he was a Zen Buddhist and had, you know, very specific values and a very specific clean aesthetic. And a rigor and a clarity that people really wanted to be a part of. And so he didn't separate himself out of his product, which is what tends to happen in marketing. So it's exciting to me to really help people bring that all together.
Yeah, the Steve Jobs. I mean, one of the coolest things that I heard about him was his reality distortion field. It's as if, like, his clarity of his own values was so direct that he could speak the impossible, that all the people around him was like, no, that's not possible. That won't work. And he was just so clear inside himself that it just happened. And he changed the face of American technology, consumer technology. So I guess I'm hearing that if you can get really clear inside yourself about your vision, then you can find a way to communicate that could really resonate with consumers, as opposed to necessarily focusing just on, you know, what the fad is or what the trends are, that you might be actually able to attract people by just staying with your values. And, you know, this kind of leads into, I think, a big piece of marketing is in terms of sort of like values. You've talked about niche and how you find your own niche and help people find their niche. And then from that, in terms of sort of like really building a successful business, from those values and knowing your niche, like, how do you then sort of create goals, and how do all those sort of play together, and how do you help people sort of build successful businesses thinking about values, niche, and goals?
Well, I think those are three of the most important cornerstones, especially I'd say when you're starting up a business or when you're wanting to take it to the next level. you know, because we all know. I mean, anybody that started a business, we kind of just, we start and it's, you know, we put up a shingle and say, yeah, I'm open for business. And you kind of hobble along, you get a website and you decide, oh, I should probably do something with that website someday. And then you get an office or, you know, it's like you kind of just cobble it together, which totally, you know, totally works for some people. And so you have, there's a different way you can start it though, which will be following your values, niche, and goals so that you're clear from the get-go. And, or in a transitionary period, I work with a lot of people who they're like, yeah, I kind of want to reinvent it. I want to revamp it. I want to take it to the next level. And that's where I really love working with people around these things. And so I'd love to explain what they are because I don't think values is something a lot of people talk about as far as something to do with your marketing and how to get more clients. Like, you know, why would it matter what your values are in getting more clients?
So this is the holistic part here.
Yeah, exactly. So you're really looking at you as the business owner as the business owner and then also the values you want in your company. So, you know, if you're a solopreneur or you have a, you know, company of 10, it really matters what your values are. And I had an interview earlier in the series with Tammy Simon, and she has very clear values and her company is built on that. Sounds true. And so I think that's helped her business a lot. So values, that really relates to, you know, what's important to you basically is what it comes down to. And so how to think of it is, we all know that as a business owner, money is important. But money for most of us that are, you know, more holistically minded is probably not your top value. Making money is probably not what gets you out of bed in the morning. It's probably not what feeds you during the day.
Like, right. It's like you need it, but it's not the sole motivating force in why you are in business for yourself.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So if the sole motivating force for why you're in business for yourself, you're actually probably going to make money. You're probably going to make a good bit of it because it's your top value. That's where a lot of holistic business owners that I work with get into really kind of a dynamic with themselves. It's like they have a push-pull with themselves. They're like, why aren't I making more money? Why aren't I making more money? And so then it's clear to me once we do their values, you know, they're probably not making money because making money is like maybe their 10th value. So what are all the things in front of that that are taking up their time, their energy, their effort, their passion? And so, you know, so obviously, but a value is to make money. So just where is that? You need to get clear on where that is. Mm-hmm. The other things there, you know, just to kind of help you orient, like what would other values be? They tend to be family, health, spiritual growth, being an expert in your industry, peace, inner peace, outer peace, generosity, things like that. And so, especially again, as the holistic business owner, I can see that, you know, a lot of people, there's a value on generosity. And so if that's your top value, and then you keep wondering why you're not making money, it might, you know, you might want to just give everything away, which is wonderful for an amount of time. But then you start feeling like you're just sacrificing your time. And, you know, at the point when you start getting resentful for being generous, it's really no longer a generosity practice. Mm. You know, so that's where you need to get clear on your value. So you can still be generous, but you need to be generous with yourself as well. And so that's where getting clear on your values is really helpful. Do you believe that it's important? If it's important to you to be generous with yourself, then you're going to want to charge some money for what you're offering. You're going to want to value what you offer to people. Like, okay, well, I've spent 5 years learning about this and being the best that I can be and really helping people. And so I want to be generous with myself and say, hey, you know, I'm going to charge the going rate and I'm going to give away a session or two a week because that's also generous. So, you know, it's like if that's your top value, we can really look at how does that relate to you specifically and your business? And then for a lot of moms, family, kids, you know, that like having a good family life, making sure everybody feels cared for, that they have emotionally cared for, spiritually cared for, physically cared for. I mean, it's just endless the amount of work that moms have to do to help have a good family. And so when I work with moms, oftentimes they ask, oh, you know, I have so many things going on and I just wish my business was doing, you know, I would love to have more clients. Why aren't I getting more clients? And I really help them look at, okay, so let's say you have 10 clients. Do you have time for 10 clients? Like, well, not really, you know?
Right.
And so how would you fit those, you know, because to have 10 more clients, you're going to need to email each one of them. You're going to set up the time. You're going to need to drive to your office. You're going to need to be there. You're going to need to, you know, prepare for these, you know, whatever. And so 10 more clients probably means 30 more hours. And so if it's vitally important to you that you're home every minute of the day, your kid's home, and maybe they're in kindergarten or they're in first grade and they're only gone for 2 to 4 hours a day. Mm-hmm. But you're beating yourself up because you don't have more clients, but your value is family. Mm-hmm. So, I really help. I just, you know, so really just get clear, you know, right now you could make a list. And I would, you know, say like 2 minutes, just think about everything in your life and, what takes up your week. Go through Monday through Sunday. What takes up your week? What do you give to? What do you, for yourself and for anybody else in your life?
So just like an inventory of how you spend time in a week? Okay.
And then you can look at what's important in those. Do you have a spiritual group that you get together with, a church or some other kind of, you know, Dharma group or whatever? What's important there? Is that generosity? Is that spiritual growth? Is that, you know, obviously there's work involved. What does work, what values orient you there? Why are you doing your work? Your family. And even within your family, there's different goals. If your main goal is cooking really like health for your family and yourself, if your ultimate goal is health, you're going to be making sure you cook really good food. You take time to, you know, go shopping and you make sure that you all get exercise. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, that all takes a lot of time. But it's amazing. I mean, mm-hmm. really important. Mm-hmm. And so if that's such a huge goal of yours, and yet obviously you're going to need money to pay for organic food and, mm-hmm. you know, to have the time to be at home. So it's finding a balance.
So you're saying that each of our values can't be given 100% of our time and energy?
Right. Right. Don't we wish, right?
Oh, man.
100% to money, 100% right. to family. And I think women try and do that.
Yeah.
And then they feel overwhelmed.
It sounds like in that example of like, well, you know, if 10 more clients means 30 more hours and I just don't have those hours to give, it's like we might be working against ourselves at times and we won't realize it until we do sort of something that directs our attention to how we actually are spending our time and the different values and what are we ready to take on.
Right. Yeah. So once you get clear with your values, what are you ready to take on? You could even make a pie chart. I think those are fun. Like, write, you know, so write down what you do during the week. And then once you've gotten clear on what your week consists of and what values are directing that and a part of that week, then make a pie chart. What value, you know, is family and health 50% of your pie chart? I mean, that easily could be. Those are two really important things. And so if then generosity is another part, and then look at where making money is. Your business. I mean, your business could be separate from making money because in your business you could be getting all kinds of secondary values met, which aren't making money. So it just, I mean, it's really wonderful to get clear on that because then it's like, oh, well, honestly, when I'm really honest, making money is maybe 20% of my value. And so you can still, you know, don't think that you can't make money if that's, you know, if it's only 20%, you can definitely still make money. You're just not fighting yourself along the way. Mm-hmm. So you're not fighting yourself in giving yourself 100 shoulds during the week. Like, I should be more generous, which means I should give away more sessions, which means that but then I should make more money so that I can pay for, you know, the gym membership for my family so that they can be healthy. Oh my gosh, you know, you see how you can just be so exhausted?
It sounds like in the other, if money is 20%, it doesn't make sense to beat yourself up when you're in the other 80% of your life
mm-hmm.
about not making money during those times.
Right, exactly. So give yourself props. If family and health are 50% of your pie, and you're doing an awesome job at family and health, give yourself, mm-hmm. you know, because really the thing is that I feel the most, is one of the most important things to actually being successful in your business, is being honest with what you want, where you're at with it, and being really honest with what you're doing well. Because we, and that I'll get into the, there's, you know, the subconscious blocks, which is basically, we have a lot of subconscious sort of tapes that play during the day. And those are the shoulds. Those are the, I should make more money, and I should be a better mom, and I should have a cleaner house, and I should, you know, all those things. Those end up being subconscious blocks to the flow of our business. And so really having a flow to your business, and I think I've just noticed when I get really clear and my clients get really clear on their values and what they're doing well, and they're giving themselves credit for everything they're doing well during the day because that's their value, then their business flows better. They actually make more money easier because they're not fighting themselves. Their subconscious isn't sort of duking it out with what they're telling themselves. Like, I should be making more money, but then their conscious is like, no, I should be organic shopping and I'm going to go do that.
So it may be that we don't have to fight tooth and nail for every penny we make.
That's right. You might not.
It might be. It may be the case.
Yep.
Okay.
And if you're like me and you have a German Midwestern background, anybody out there?
Oh, boy. It's pretty heavy.
Then you feel like you have to work really hard for everything that you get. And within that, I feel like also there is a strong value amongst, you know, Midwesterners to be generous and to be of service, and which I really appreciate about them and myself. And yet it really does, the hard working part of it is kind of fighting yourself, because you feel like you really should be so generous to the point of conflicting with making money, to the point of conflicting with your health, to the point of, you know, all these things. And so once you get clear, it just frees up a lot of energy so that you can go for what, you know, do a great job at what you want to actually do a great job at. And I heard this woman actually at another speaker series like I have, she was being interviewed, and she had a great point, was to get clear on your finances and find out exactly, and this is especially true for women, because we tend to have a business which is a bit, our pies tend to be a bit fuller, and it's a bit more secondary, you know, family, health, all those, you know, pets, home, all those things tend to be pretty big on our pie chart. And so the business aspect is, this is true for men, but also, you know, anybody really doing their own business and kind of starting out, get clear on how much money you need to make. And that was phenomenally helpful for me, was that, you know, if making money is further down on your priority list, then getting really clear how much it is you need to make to pay your bills, to do whatever it is you want to do with that money. Really need-based, though, not like, I need a four-week trip to Europe this year. You know, that's something you want to do. That's something that, like, if, you know, spending time on your business and making money goes up your value list a little, then you're going to put more time to it, you know. But just focus on the needs. Focus on, you know, getting really clear on how much you spend, how much you need to make in this business, so that you can, give yourself props. Like, I covered our needs. You know what? And I did that, and I paid, I helped, you know, I made sure we had electricity, we had good food. I covered those needs. And you can free yourself up to just enjoy the higher priorities on your value list. And so I found that took away a lot of the anxiety for me around, because I would, you know, I'd make a certain amount of money and then think, okay, well, next month I need to make more, just because I do, because I need to, you know, just, I want to have that trip and I want to do this. And I kept like putting more pressure on myself as I went along to make more and more money. And I just found I was really anxious the whole time because I was, one of my top values is peace, cultivating peace within myself. And for those in my life that I work with for in our family. And the stressing out really got me, the anxiety took me away from peace, which was my greatest value. And so I was like, okay, how can I get back to peace? Well, it's covering our needs, and it's being really clear with, okay, I've done that, I can relax.
Yeah, it sounds like without the clarity of that goal or something, sort of the need-based goal of your money, it's hard to cultivate a sense of gratitude for accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll never, your mind might always change the bar.
Exactly.
If you don't write the bar down.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? And we'll go into goals for sure right after niche. So value, anyway, obviously I have, there's a lot of interesting things I have about values. And I hope that was helpful to help you get clear on your values.
It's helpful for me.
Good. And then the next piece, so it's values, niche, and goals. Niche is what I feel like is another pillar of really important business. And so, again, I would say do a free write. Don't censor it. Because your niche, you can get into all kinds of ideas of, well, I can't have, I couldn't be an intuitive business coach because how many people have ever asked me, hey, do you know an intuitive business coach? Right? That couldn't be my niche. So if if I were to have censored myself, I wouldn't have gotten to that, that niche. So what I did is I just free wrote everything that I was interested in doing in my business. Anything that you enjoy, any piece of it that you enjoy, and, even from that you're not doing currently, that you have done, that you want to do, and just do a little free write. And so that way you can get a sense of the whole picture of what you have to offer. And then you can, once you get the whole picture, you can look at what you are good at doing and also what you aren't so comfortable at doing. And really look at what you've just written down and assess, if you're not as comfortable doing one of those things, but it's really exciting to you, then go for it. Generally the things that you're good at doing, you're going to have a lot more confidence in marketing it. You're going to have more confidence in offering it. You're going to, that's a great, especially if you are in a starting place with your business. I would say within the first 2 years, sticking with the things that you're good at, that you're comfortable with, you're confident around, is a great place to just build your business from. And then adding in those things that are a little bit more, it'd be fun to do. Although I'd probably have to give away a number of sessions because I'm not as confident about charging full rate for X or Y or something. And so that's what you can do with that list once you've gotten it to decide your niche. And then obviously another really important step after deciding what you're good at doing, what you're not as good at doing, but maybe you're passionate about, is then assess the market. I mean, if I really wanted to do intuitive readings for Persian cats that have an orange hue to their, I just loved because I had one when I was a kid and it was a freak of nature and, that was my thing. I could assess the market and be like, well, there's just not a lot of them. I think I'm going to have a really hard time. It'd be easy to market on some level. I know exactly who my target market is. There's just not that many of them out there. But definitely, I think what we do is we assess the market while we're thinking of our niche, and that really kills our passion. Mm-hmm. Because we're assessing the market. We're kind of, like deciding why that niche won't work as we're deciding that we love it, which, just kind of takes away the excitement of it. So don't do the assessing the market till the end. And really look at, then you can honestly look at, like intuitive business coaching. I live in Boulder, Colorado, so I felt like it was a good place to market that if that's your thing. But honestly, maybe if you live in Kansas or somewhere where it's not as widely, almost everybody I talk to in Boulder has some kind of intuitive part to their business. So it's wonderful. People really get that part of it. And so when I assessed the market, it felt like it was a strong need. And even though you might be looking at, well, I don't know if people would want this. Well, go ahead and try it. The thing is if you're almost never going to be too specific. When I have clients that I work with around their niche, they always want to default to being more general, because it's like, well, I'd rather reach 100,000, you know, do something where 100,000 people want it than just 100. And, you know, it just, it's harder to market when you don't have a clearly defined niche. Again, like the hot stone massage person. I'm a massage therapist. I mean, I love doing Swedish massage, Thai massage, hot stone massage, brain trough therapy. If you're that person, who are you marketing to? You know, really think of your niche. Like, it's A, what you love, but B, who you're marketing to. If you just focus on hot stone, that's probably a kind of specific person. I would say mostly it's women. Mostly it's, I'm not sure, but maybe it's mostly women with a certain type of, you know, physical need or something. And so it really just, when you tighten down your niche, that's the trick with niche, is getting it tight enough that you know who you're marketing to and you can picture that person who wants that, but that there's enough of them, you know? Like if your Aunt Sue, which is, you're like, oh, that's so her, she loves this, but your Aunt Sue's just super unique and there's only four of her, I mean, that's where the whole... So yeah, it's just a kind of a balancing act, and you can always keep playing with it. And I would say you're almost never going to be too specific. So go ahead and, as you're doing this, get as specific as you can, and then you can always widen it later.
Great.
And then goals. I would say, you know, a lot of people don't get clear with goals because they aren't clear with their values and they aren't clear with their niche. And so I think we tend to have general goals. Like I really want 10 new clients. And that's a tricky goal, you know, because if you haven't assessed the other things, then your goal is going to not be based on anything, but a sort of loose desire to make more money and have more people. Mm. And so these, when you're setting goals, really make sure that they are, I think the acronym is, I think it's SMART. It's
okay. Specific.
So, yep.
Measurable.
That you have accountability.
Accountability. Something begins with an R.
Yes.
And time, time sensitive. Time, there's a
time. There's a deadline. Yeah. Yeah. And I know I have this information somewhere. I just decided, you know, it's just something I kind of threw in for this topic on goals. Because I also do a little improv comedy. I like to do things on the fly. So, specific, measurable, actionable, realistic.
Oh, realistic.
Yes.
Yes.
And time sensitive.
Yeah.
So, I just was thinking of that and as a important part of it. So, and time sensitive, I think, is the, you know, important part of it. And... you know, giving yourself a deadline and, you know, really looking at why do you want 10 more clients? Is that realistic? And when do you want to buy? There's definitely, you know, I do believe in the law of attraction, and there's different levels of working with the law of attraction. And, you know, you can, I think it's fun to just try and see, you know, okay, so you want 10 new clients. You're not sure you have the energy to market them. Maybe you don't know your niche. You can just say I want 10 new clients, and one of the things that I work with my clients a lot around is seeing that happening. If I will say, though, that if you have a subconscious block and you don't actually want to put in the hours, you can see that happening all day long every day and do all of the law of attraction, kind of the secret stuff of, you know, manifesting it and seeing it and believing it. If your subconscious, though, is like, yeah, I do not have that extra 10 to 20 hours to 30 hours a week to make that happen, that's going to keep defeating you. So if you find that you have these goals and they're not being met, it's probably around your values. So, but I would say often, more often than not, I'm guessing most of you listeners don't have clear goals. And so it's really, again, doesn't hurt to have clear goals, even if you think they're too lofty or vague, or even if you start out vague, it's just a good practice to make goals of, you know, whatever feels good to you. I find it's a bit stressful to have goals around a certain amount of money because my value of making a certain amount of money is lower. My value of working with people that I really love working with is much higher. So my goal is attracting maybe 5 of my ideal clients. So some of those clients might be sliding scale. Some of them might be full fee. It's less important to me how much they pay as it is who they are. So that's just for me what I found. But that was a process of trial and error by just creating goals. And then, that goal is stressing me out. I'm going to change that a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's way better. If you have a goal that doesn't quite work for you, it's way better than having no goal. Let me tell you.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's
good stuff.
That's my favorite things about being a business coach is helping people with those aspects to help them. In the end, it really helps all those things and everything I do with people. And the intuitive part is really helping people get clear on their essence and who they are as a being, like innately. Think about it, like who you were as a 4-year-old. And that person is still there, and it's just gotten kind of sidetracked and have all these shoulds and ideas. And so bringing that in is also really fun to help. It's really helped getting everything, like a school of fish, all swimming in one direction is the metaphor I like to think of. So that your whole being and every part of you is swimming in the same direction, mm-hmm. so that you can really align where you want to go. You know, those fish swim with amazing precision and speed in a whole group of them. So how can you get all the parts of yourself to do that for your business so that it flows really well? And you're not, sort of smashing into yourself. And
I like that metaphor. That's a great metaphor. Sometimes it feels like my school of fish are really aligned and things are flowing and it's efficient. And then other times it's like, whoa, I just can't even get out of my own way at times.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I would say that it happens to me too. I mean, you can so easily start get out of alignment. And, it's like, oh, I should do this and I should do that and, have conflicting values. And I just have to keep going back to my values every time I find myself fighting myself. And anytime you hear you're saying the word should, give yourself a little red flag and really examine, like, is that something you want to do? Or is that something somebody else thinks you should do? Is that should around your business?
Great.
Yeah, so I hope that was helpful to, all of you DIYers who want to, create your own clarity with your business.
So with all this stuff that you got going on, why would you sign up to create this Courageous Heart Business series?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's a good question. I do have a lot going on. So I did create the Courageous Heart Business series, interview series, because as I was coaching my clients, I would find, especially, and I found this in the intuitive sessions, I would check in with their spirit and find that they were actually great at manifesting. And they would feel a little bit shocked. And I would say, tell them exactly we all manifest a bit differently. And I would look at how they specifically manifest for their life. Often it was through their heart. The heart actually has, I think, something like a 50 times more powerful field than the mind. So for a lot of us that are heart-centered, I noticed that, it wasn't validated in school. It's not like your teacher was like, awesome job for coming from your heart. That was amazing. You failed that math test, but you had so much heart with that. I'm just going to give you extra credit. That was beautiful. And so you might have manifested exactly what you wanted as a kid. Although it's harder to manifest what you want as a kid. Maybe friends, maybe you're great at sports, like whatever. You weren't getting credit, though, for how you're manifesting with your heart. And so I just found that a lot of people who were heart-centered doubted themselves a lot, doubted their ability. I'm not logical, I'm not linear, I hear this all the time, I'm not good at business. And what that means is they feel like they're not good at the logical, the linear, the accounting, the marketing, the step-by-step process of this is how things should be and holding that all in a way that makes sense from here to there. And so they say, I'm not good at business. And so they have this idea, and it's really just they're fighting themselves. And so the Courageous Heart, I really wanted to help people understand that their heart is powerful. It's one of their strongest skill sets, to be in their heart, to come from their heart, to love what they do, to love their clients. It's been documented that sending love out to your clients is one of the most healing things you can do, and that they have, if you're in your heart space, they've documented that by, you know, whatever that vibration is, you know, really sending out love. And when they find practitioners that hold that during a session with a client, they have better results than almost any other modality. So better than the giving them the right herbs or giving them the right, you know, technique or whatnot. It's holding that vibration of love coming from your heart. So again, it wasn't something that was validated per se in anything that we've been taught. But yet having courage to say, this is, I'm following my heart. This is what I want to do for my business. I have the courage to believe in myself. I have the courage in all these different ways in my business. And I believe in my heart. It really, you have, you know, limitless potential.
Major bonus.
Yeah, so that was that was my inspiration. So that's why the speakers have been, I've really looked at who I felt was really heart-centered, who comes from their heart, who believes in themselves, who has courage, brought all those people together so that we could all start believing in our heart and our innate power from there, from that place, a lot more. Because the linear logical, if you go, you know, if you go that route, you often need other people to do it for you, you know. So the ideas of, you know, marketing should look like this, and, your content should look like this. I mean, there's definitely things that are helpful to write compelling content. Coming from your heart's one of them. Being passionate about what you do. Oh, my favorite example of this is actually there are two pet stores in the area, pet food stores. One, you walk in and it smells like baked goods, and the same people are always working there, and they love it. I think they each work 6-7 days a week, the employees. Almost never take days off because they love being there. It just, the whole store is filled with this love. I will pay extra for the bag of dog food, for the collar, for the whatever I need for my dogs. I love going in there. I love supporting it. I feel like I'm part of their community. Then there's this other store that I go into, and I'm probably generally the only person in there, and they almost never ask if I need help. If they do, they're like, do you need anything? I'm like, I'm sorry that I'm in here. I feel like a bit of a burden. It feels like it was to them a bit more of like, well, I could make money having a pet food store. I'm not sure what else I could do. And so the love isn't there. I mean, it just seems like it was a more logical, linear, thought out process of like, I guess a pet food store makes sense.
There's lots of dogs in Boulder.
Yeah, right? There's lots of dogs in Boulder. I'll do a pet food store. There can't be, you know, too many of those. And so I walk into that one and I'm like, you know what? I'm only here because my dog is out of food and the other store closes before I can get over there. I would rather drive 15 minutes to get to the other store and pay more. And I think you probably could all think of examples like that where, you know, we want to support people who are passionate about what they do and who are in their heart and exuding that energy. So that's a goal for our own business. So that's the why I created the series, and I hope you all have gotten great information. And it's just been so much fun for me to interview all these people. I have learned and taken so much notes from all the speakers. It's been super fun. So thanks so much for joining.
Well, I've learned a lot just in this one interview that I've done, so I can only imagine how much you've learned in this whole series.
Thanks.
So,
yeah, it's funny. I don't give you much business coaching, do I? That's something I should do for you. I give you a free session.
Yeah, I could use it. I could use it.
Wonderful. Well, as I said, for anybody who's listening, I do intuitive business coaching. I'm happy to help you out if you need a website, if you want your website to get higher on Google. If you want to get clear on who you are and why you're in business and align, just really align your spirit, your mind, your body, your business, so that they're all swimming in the same direction, so that you have flow, getting clients will be easier. It'll be a lot more fun. I'm happy to help you out with all of that. I love what I do and I'd love to help you. And so my two websites on that topic are inspirationaloasis.com, which is where you're listening to this, and Holistic, HOLISTIC, businessmarketing.com. And one's more marketing focused, one's more intuitive focused. The Inspirational Oasis is more intuitive focused. So that's what I'm up to. You can keep track of what's going on in my world? I'm always doing interesting things.
Great. Thanks so much, Lisa.
Thank you. Thanks so much for everybody listening, and I hope you got a lot out of it. Please email me with any, you know, thoughts you have or inspirations. I'd love to hear your inspirations and what you've, how, you know, how you've enjoyed the interview series. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Blessings. Thank you.